Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
So good. You guys can be seated. We're in for an incredible night. Are you ready for some tag team action? Yeah. Better than WWE. It's awesome. It's good. And I love that we're tackling this subject. We're in this series, you asked for it. But tonight, we're tackling the subject of how do I hear God's voice? Does God speak? Does he speak to me? How does he speak? How do I hear him speak? These are all really important questions. The answer to these questions change everything in our life. They are so important. And I feel like there's probably more confusion than clarity around this subject when you start talking about God speaking. On one hand, you've got people that are confused and maybe a bit fearful or just don't understand how God speaks, if he will, is he going to, does he, am I getting it right? And then on the other hand, you've got people God seemingly speaks to them about every single thing. He's telling them to eat Cocoa Pops and go here and do that. And it's quite remarkable, actually. But I've heard a lot, I've seen people do a lot of foolish things in the name of God. And people have done some really horrible things over history in the name of God. So when we say it's a critical thing that we know the answer to this question of does God speak, how does he speak, and how do I hear him, this is so important. So I'm excited for this. And I want to launch straight in and reading from Psalm 23. You will know it. It's the Lord is my shepherd. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love Psalm 23, but you're probably thinking, what has that got to do with the voice of God and him speaking? It's actually got everything to do with it. Because this verse is not painting a picture, but it paints the picture for God's interaction and involvement in our life. Psalm 23, this is the picture. The most frequently used, one of the most frequently used symbols in the Bibles and pictures in the Bible of how our relationship with God and Jesus and how he interacts with us is that of a shepherd being Jesus and us being the sheep. That he is a shepherd. And Psalm 23 is describing how Jesus is the shepherd of our life. And he is going to lead us through life. And his will is that he would lead us into great things. Places of peace and rest, of righteousness, of good things. Even through the troubles of life, he is there to comfort. That he wants to pour out blessing. That's the life that he wants us to lead. And he is the one that will lead us through it. And so Psalm 23, the symbolism has myriad layers of power and meaning. But what I want to focus in on tonight is how a shepherd leads. How does Jesus lead? You know, we just spent some time on the farm not too long ago. And these days, when you're herding sheep, the flock, you know, we did it in a 4x4. People do it on quads. People have dogs. There's all types of different ways, but it's always behind and it's always driving and pushing and this. But that's not the way that it was done in the Bible when this verse, Psalm 23, was written. That's not the way it was. The shepherds aren't behind driving and forcing and coercing and yelling. They're in front and they're leading. And the way they lead is with their voice. It's quite remarkable. It's actually been documented and tested many times over that even today they've had shepherds and they've got shepherds and they've got them to get their flock out into a certain place. And then they've got other people to try and get them to do things. So these people are trying to mimic what they've heard the shepherd do. They're calling out to them, trying to order them just like they heard this guy do. And they're ordering out and the sheep aren't paying any attention. And then another person gives it a go. Oh, I'll make it. That'll be me. I could do this, you know, and I get out there and I'm doing it, you know, and it doesn't work. In fact, they start walking away because they're a bit like, what is this? They're a bit skittish. And time after time, people keep doing it. You can watch this stuff. And then as soon as the shepherd comes up, it takes but one word. He speaks it out and they look at him. And in moments, they come walking towards him and they follow him. It's remarkable. And it's not strange. Jesus taught this. Jesus taught this in John 10:3-5, he says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep, again, that's us, hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings them out, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 27 goes on to say a remarkable verse. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So in Psalm 23, talking about how Jesus is shepherding our life and leading us, can lead us through life if we allow him, it's giving us the picture in which he does it. And he speaks. It's by his voice. Jesus is not silent in our life. Jesus speaks. And already just from these verses, we can see Jesus speaks, and it's personally. It's not just for pastors, but not other people. It's not just for the Fruity Loops, you know, and no one else. God speaks to his children. All those that are following him, he speaks to them. We can have confidence in that, that he speaks. And we're going to unpack that. So Deuteronomy 28, we find it in the Old Testament, talking about the importance of listening and hearing God's voice and that he actually speaks in the first place. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 2. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord. But even Jesus talks about this in the New Testament. We find that as well. In Mark 4 verse 9, he's talking to a group of people sharing some parables. And he says this remarkable thing. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he echoes it again after another parable in verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He's got this desperation. And it's quite confusing because I'm sure that the vast majority of the people there that day had ears. You know, like, they had ears. Like, it's most people haven't. Maybe there were some deaf people and he was going to heal them later. That's cool. But most people had ears. They could hear him. So what does he mean? Why is he stressing? If anyone has ears, let him hear. Well, he talks about it in Matthew 13:13. He says, therefore I speak to them, meaning the people and us, in parables. Because seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Does anyone else get that? You know, you're talking to someone. It might happen tonight in the cafe. No, it won't. When someone's talking to you and that you're like, but your like mind is out here. And if they were to ask you what you just said, you'd be like, I don't know. I'm so sorry. I wasn't listening. Because your mind's going elsewhere. We have this. That's what Jesus is addressing. We have this incredible ability as humans to hear but not hear. Not we can see but not really see. We can be there but not really experience. And Jesus is talking straight to this. So how do we act? How does he speak? And how do we hear him? How do we actually ensure that we are hearing him? Well, practically, there are like many different ways that God speaks. I believe 100% that today God still can speak in an audible voice like you're hearing mine. It's happened in the Bible from conversations and experience and it being tested and like it's like legit. It happens today. That happens. But I've got to tell you, that is very rare. It's very rare. And it's only one of the very many ways that God speaks. Because God can speak through dreams. God can speak through situations. God can speak through other people like friends or pastors or leaders. One of the most common ones, which I find, is God can, because we are born again. We've received the Spirit of God. His Spirit talks to our spirit. And it's like on the inside, he's talking to our spirit. Some people call it an unction. Jay John calls it the quiver in your liver, where, you know, it's just like, oh, like I should call that person, or I just really shouldn't do that, or I really feel to do this. Something gets impressed upon your heart. Think of it that way. That's probably a really common way, but chiefly the way that God speaks to us, you and I, every day is in the Word of God. Like, I know that you're like, oh, heard that. No, this is not a self-help book. This is not like just a good idea that maybe we could pick it up. This is the Word of God. God spoke. His Word is powerful. This Word is powerful. It says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's live and it's active. The Bible says that it is powerful. And this is the authority on our life, this Bible. This is the Word of God. It will never fade away. This book will, but the words that are in it will never fade away. They are infallible. This is the Word of God going forth to you and I. In our dispensation, if you will, of the gospel, this is the Word of God that has gone forth. This is it. This is how God speaks. He's spoken through patriarchs. He's spoken through prophets. He's spoken through judges all through the Bible. In this day and age, he speaks chiefly through his word to you and I and to all those around us. And the Bible teaches us that we must test everything against this word. Doesn't matter if you get a dream. Doesn't matter if you hear, Chris, you should go over there, like the big voice of God. Doesn't matter if you feel something. If it's not, if it doesn't agree with this, it's not God. Which is great, because when things of like condemnation or stress or anxiety come, I can say, no, that's not from God. He doesn't want me to feel that way, because the word of God says there is no condemnation and that I don't have anxious, but I've got power, love, and a sound mind. Like this, we have to test everything against this. We can save ourselves from a lot of trouble, a lot of foolish mistakes, if we will listen to the word of God. And I'm not saying that God won't use other things, but they are always tested against the word of God. There's multiple ways, but chiefly that is the way we test. I could probably come up with 6 or 7 ways we can test if something's the voice of God. But that, number one, if you could just do that, everything we hear, everything we feel, everything we experience, if we test it against the word of God, we will know. And I think we spend so much time, I don't know, I'll say I do. I spend so much time probably asking God and praying for God things, for things. And sometimes I don't get answers and I'm a bit like concerned or worried why I'm not getting anything. And then a couple of hours later, a couple of days later, it's like, oh, right, it's in here already. You've already said it. God's not into repeating himself just for you. This is for everybody. This is the word of God. He doesn't need to say it twice to make it any more powerful. He said it once. It's written. It's down there. And that's it. That is the word of God. If we can just grab that revelation. And so how do we make sure we really hear or understand God? I'm just going to finish up. And these are just two things for me, two groups of things for me that ensure that we are hearing the voice of God. Like, God, there's no doubt Jesus speaks. He speaks to us and he can speak in many different ways. But how do we make sure that we are listening? As Jesus said, if anyone has ears to hear, you know, how can we hear? You know, like, so we're making sure we're actually hearing when we're hearing, seeing when we're seeing, you know. So the first one would be this, time and quietness. Luke 5 verse 16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Even Jesus made time to get away from the busyness and the noise and everything and the commotion and the crowds. From all the noise, he got away. He made time to get quiet, because it's in that place where he was filled up, where God told him the next step, the next things he needed to do, where he was filled up, where he saw God healing people and doing things. The Bible says that Jesus never did anything he didn't see or hear God tell him to do. And then so in those places, in the quiet, in the still places where God could speak, where there's no other distractions around. So even Jesus did it. Matthew 6:6, Jesus tells us, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. It's a personal thing. We've got so many voices, so many noises, so many things going on in our world. I don't know, you wake up and your phone's like, beep, 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 beep. Like, it won't stop, you know. But if we can, so we need to distance ourselves. We knew we need to take the time to get quiet in our world. And we will hear the voice of God. You will. When all those voices, when you shut the door on all those other voices, you will hear the voice of God clear. I love Psalm 62. It says, my soul silently waits for God. I will wait silently for God alone, it says. It's amazing. And the second group of things is attention and humility. Again, so much is going on around us that our focus can be, I don't know about you, but yeah, our focus can just be so like disjointed and all over the place. But again, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. We're going to miss the hearing God's voice if we're focused on this too and this. We need to give God our attention. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 verse 20, it says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Focus, he's saying. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. So keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. There's lots of things biting for your time, but we need to keep our heart, keep that inner place and that quiet and that attention to God sacred to him in those moments. And secondly, we need to be humble. And I think this is like, I don't know, maybe something easier to say than it is done. But sometimes we can have our own ideas of things and we want God to fit into it. But that's just not the way it works. And I find it quite remarkable when, yeah, if people are like, oh, God told me this and God told me that. I'm like, wow, you guys are just on the same page. He just thinks exactly like how you think and all that. But the truth is, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He sees in the aspect of eternity. So we've got to be humble enough not to bring our stuff to God and say, this, do this, and God fit into this. No, we have to be humble enough to surrender and go, no, not my will, but your will. I'm not the shepherd of my life. You are the shepherd of my life. I make the decisions at the end of the day, but it's not by the wisdom of man or my wisdom. It's your wisdom, God, that I'm going to receive. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. There's things that even seem good and fine and okay, but they're not from God and they don't lead to God. They're not a part of his plan and a part of his will. They might seem good, but they don't lead to him. Jeremiah 7, verse 24 says, yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their own evil hearts. And they went backward, not forward. Psalm 23 talks about Jesus leading us through and forward. He wants to lead us on. If we will go backwards and we will find ourselves stuck if we don't humble ourselves to hear what God is saying to us. I'm not the shepherd of my life. Jesus is. So coming back to Psalm 23, I believe the big call that Jesus is putting out to you and I is, I want to be the shepherd of your life. And if you would let me shepherd your life daily, invite me in, get quiet, give me your attention, read my word, I want to speak to you and I want to lead you and I want to lead you into places of peace and rest and good things and righteousness. And I want to bless you and I want all these things. I want to comfort you when you're in your despair. So let me lead you. Let me be the shepherd of your life.
Well, tonight I just wanted to share some really practical things that either I've learned or, like I said, that I've inherited from others. And that is on, what does God's voice sound like? How do I discern that it is God speaking and not just my own thoughts? And what can I do to hear from God? So punch the other person and say, you better be ready. So what does God's voice sound like? What does God's voice sound like? You know, this is a little bit of what Chris said as well. When it comes to God speaking to us, yes, like, sometimes, very rarely, he may speak audibly like he did in the Bible. But when it comes to day to day, he doesn't speak like we speak to each other. You know, when I speak to one of you, you know, the vibrations from my voice box are coming out through my mouth. And anyone who actually knows this may or may not be correct. But, you know, they come out from our mouth. They travel through space. You know, they are received by your ear. And then, you know, use your brain and the mechanics in your ear, then transmit them into a language that we can then understand as, you know, language, as communication. But when it comes to God, it's very different. You know, for me, I've learned that there are tangible ways that God speaks and intangible ways that he speaks. You know, when I was 11, I remember I was going through a phase where I was so scared that I couldn't go to sleep until like 1 or 2 a.m., because I'd read this horror book. And I remember I was so scared. And one night, I don't know what came over me, but I just felt to randomly open up my Bible. And it opened up to Psalm 91. You know, straight there, right on the page. And it, you know, talked about how whoever lies in the shadow of the Most High God will be kept safe by the Almighty One. And that whole passage was exactly what I needed to hear. You know, and that is the old flick and pick, as I like to call it. That, like Chris said, you know, just being in the Word daily, we will also hear from God and hear what we need to know for that particular season of our life. So the Bible. But he also speaks through people, like Chris said, coincidental words of knowledge or even preaching. You know, we get up here and you may think that, you know, we're just kind of rattling off random stuff, but these are actually words that, you know, we've actually prepared and asked God to give us, you know, that he would actually speak through us. When you come into church, these words, you know, they can actually be God's words to you. He speaks through people and prophecies, you know, like we've had different prophets that, as they're called, that have come to church who actually give words of wisdom that God has given them to then give to us. You know, these are different ways that God can speak. And like Chris said, There's more out of the ordinary ways, like dreams, visions, or even out of the ordinary kind of signs. And I'm not going to get much into that, but these are ways that God can speak. So you're with me. So there's tangible ways where it's kind of like, yes, oh my gosh, that's definitely God. But where it gets tricky is when you get to the intangible ways. Like the inner nudge. You know, when my mum, a while ago, she was at the traffic lights. And, you know, the traffic light went green and she just kind of felt to just wait for a bit. And as it goes, a semi-truck kind of coursed through the intersection. You know, that was like a kind of random inner nudge that she felt from the Holy Spirit. I remember there was a story about this lady that I knew, and she was at Coles, and she felt this random inkling, you know, like quiver in my liver, this random nudge to buy this lady nappies. So random, right? So random. But she's like, you know, okay, God, if that's what, you know, I feel to do, I'll just do it. It's harmless. It can't hurt. She, you know, she bought this lady nappies, went up to her, gave them to her, and the lady goes, oh my gosh, thank you so much. We were down to our last nappy and my husband and I, we cannot afford anymore. We weren't sure what we were going to do. You know, it's that inner nudge. I remember I was running one time and I was just praying and I felt this inkling to just run back to this lady and say, you know, I hope you have a good day. And so I was like, okay. And so I'm like running back. I turned around. It's so awkward when you're like, you know, Redcliffe, that, you know, that footpath. Turned around. Everyone's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I just hope you have a good day. And then I kind of ran off, but she's like, what's your name? And anyway, for the next hour, we ended up having this conversation about what was going through her world. And I was able to encourage her and share a little bit about church. And there's these thoughts that get impressed upon our heart, you know, revelations that can be impressed upon our heart, peace. Sometimes God speaks through a feeling of conviction. I don't know if you've ever walked into an icky movie or you're about to do something that you know is wrong and you feel that icky feeling, that feeling of conviction. You know, sometimes it's actually God speaking. It's not condemning, but it's just God saying, you know what, maybe don't do that. So these are the more intangible ways, but here's the problem, the dilemma. I don't know if you've ever asked yourself this, but I don't know if you've ever asked, is this actually God? Has anybody ever asked that? They've had a thought and they're like, I don't know if this is God. So my next point is, how do I discern that it is God speaking? You know, there's this, when I was younger, I remember sitting at the breakfast table and I was pouring orange juice. And this was after I'd kind of discovered that God speaks. And I'm like, I got this random thought, don't drink the orange juice. Tip the orange juice back. And I'm like, this is when I was like 10. And so I was like, I don't know if this is God. This is really weird. And so I like tipped it back in and put it in the fridge. And that's just a ridiculous story because I think sometimes, and it wasn't God, just so we all know. It wasn't. But that's just a ridiculous story that sometimes we can have weird thoughts and it's like, is it God? And so these are just pieces of wisdom that I've learnt. You know, like we test leather or gold or diamonds to be genuine, we also need to test if it's really God speaking. You know, for thoughts that get impressed upon your heart, like Chris said, is it aligned with his word, you know? Is it aligned with his character? If we know his word, we can then know his character. And therefore, we can know if it's his voice. You know, like I know, like Nick, if someone tells me he said something, I can automatically know if it's something that would come out of his mouth. You know what I mean? So familiarize yourself with his word and you can familiarize yourself with his voice. If it's feelings of conviction, this is a big one, condemnation. My mum taught me is the devil condemns, the Holy Spirit convicts. You know, the devil says, why are you doing that? You fool, what are you doing? That's so silly, you know better. Whereas the Holy Spirit says, you know what? You're called for better things. You know, remember who you are. You're called for better things. The Holy Spirit convicts and affirms while encouraging. He convicts. You know, when you get inklings or promptings, just ask, is it in line with God's will? And before I go on to my next point, I wanted to just mention this. When we're dealing with big decisions, like do I move to another city or do I marry this person or whatever, I think that's especially when we start getting anxious about what does God want me to do. And like one thing I've learned is to pray. And, you know, to start to actually ask people for counsel, for wisdom, to not just, you know, keep it inside and make the decision, but talk to your pastor or talk to a careers advisor if it's going to affect your career, or talk to people it will affect. Talk to people who are credible and mature and wise. You know, seek counsel on them. But also, often if you're taking a big step and you are doing something risky, often God will actually open doors, you know, as you go, as you move, to actually confirm that it's the right thing to do. That's what happened when my family, we moved to Brisbane. And I'll quickly say this story. We moved to Brisbane and I remember I was so uneasy the first week we got here. And I was like, God, I don't know if we did the right thing. Not that it mattered what I thought because I was like 14. But I was like, oh, I don't feel easy about this. And I remember I was like, God, can you please give me something that's going to assure my heart that, you know, I'm in the right place and that, you know, this is part of your plan for my life. And for some reason, Mum broke her phone and the first mobile phone shop that we walked into was the Dickersons. And we were like just chatting with them. And then all of a sudden, Dad asked, oh, so do you guys go to church? And they were like, yes. And in my head, I was like, I knew what they were going to say before they said it. They were like, yes, we're at C3BD, which is exactly where we were planning to go. And all that was just kind of assurance. You know, sometimes God will just send those, you know, those affirmations, those confirmations, you know, just have peace. And my last point is, what can I do to hear from God? So number one was, there are many ways that God speaks. Number two is that we need to use wisdom to discern if it is really God speaking. And number three is, what can I do to hear from God? You know, I used to play soccer. Anyone play soccer? I used to play soccer and, you know, I could know all the skills in the world when it came to how to use a football and how to pass it to my teammates or how to shoot at goal. I could have all the skills that I wanted to, but if I was not in the right position to actually receive the ball from my teammates when we were in the middle of a game, my skills were worth nothing. You know, I can know all about how God speaks and how to discern whether it's God speaking and whatnot, but if I'm not in the right position to actually hear from him, if my heart isn't in the right position, then all those skills, you know, they're worth nothing. We need to position ourselves in the right place to hear God's voice. In 1 Kings 19, you know, Elijah was in trouble. People were after his life. They wanted to kill him. So he hid in a cave where it was dark and enclosed, where he could kind of wallow in his self-pity and his fear and his doubt and his worry. You see, Elijah was in a terrible state. He was in no state to hear from God. So what God did is he said, Elijah, come out on the mountain. Come out on the mountain. You see, it was there that God was able to speak to him because Elijah had been repositioned. You know, when it comes to communicating with God, position matters. If you want to hear from God, then position yourself where you have the highest chance of encountering him. You know, Elijah was positioned where the voice of God would pass by. So too, we need to position our place. We need to position ourselves in a place where we know God will be. In the Bible, like Chris said. You know, we don't just read it plainly, but we actually lean into it. Position ourselves. You know, get expectant to hear from God. Seek him. Read the Bible. He's in the Bible. That's positioning yourself to hear from God. Come to church. Come to church. You know, this is where we can position ourselves to hear from God. Praise and worship. You know, God inhabits the praises of his people. It allows us to actually focus and connect with God. I love this quote, God created music to attach people to him. I love that. Praise and worship is almost like a gateway, you know, where we can commune with God. Pray. It raises our awareness of God. Get yourself some godly friends. You know, ask them about how they hear about God, how they hear from God. You know, and the amount of friends that have said exactly the right thing when I needed it. You know, get yourself some godly friends. Instead of listening to the radio on the way to work, listen to a podcast, you know, or just live with a posture that is ready to listen, you know. Just pray, pray. You know, it talks about in the Bible, you know, pray, pray fervently, pray without ceasing. I don't think that means we have to pray like, oh my gosh, like full on 24/7. But just as we're going about our day-to-day lives, doing the dishes, driving to work, just being in a place of prayer. In other words, You know, we need to be on the front foot, positioning ourselves, you know, seeking him. It says, seek the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you will find him. You know, being in a position of seeking him. So practical ways. There are many ways that God speaks, number one. Number two was we need to use wisdom to discern if it is really God speaking. And number three, if you want to hear from God, then position yourself where you have the highest chance of encountering him.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.